We're back here on a Friday, and we have a whole host of folks in the studios with us here today, and we're going to start with Nicole Bateman from the EDC, because this is where you normally join us every other week to chat about what's going on with economic development. Now, there have been meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings. There's going to be a meeting after the show today. We got 1,200 people in the studios. What's all the excitement about?
So we have talked a lot about these federal grant opportunities that are available, and the first grant we wrote for was for tech and innovation hubs, of which Decatur and the Decatur-Champaign corridor was designated one. Trailing that came an additional opportunity for workforce development, specifically to get those in our community between the ages of 25 and 54 who are in their prime working years back to work. And so those communities that were have high what they call prime age employment gaps PEG were eligible to apply. And we looked at this as an opportunity to really bring our own citizens back into the workforce to fulfill these jobs that we expect to have over the next 3 to 10 years, which is about 4,000 new jobs. And so, you know, the common question is, where do we get the workers, right? And so this was an opportunity for us to get federal funding to train our own and train them up into careers.
Okay, the city of Decatur spent some considerable resources putting together studies showing that we've got kind of three areas where people are, where we can grow and where we can recruit and where we can, and they're all very different. And there's some crossover amongst the three. How does this lay over the data that we already have about people in this community?
Yeah. So it's powerful to have that study because it showed us exactly what we knew, right? So we have those graduating from high school that need to be directly connected to careers. There's opportunities there. We knew that there were folks within our community, specifically in these 11 census tracts, indicators, urban core, that have an enormous amount of barriers that could be working, that want to work, but for a lot of reasons aren't. So we can tap that. And then we also have ALICE families that are working, but are just one paycheck away from falling back into PEG. And so what we introduced, which was a little bit of a risk because it was outside the bounds of what the grant first suggested, was to just directly focus efforts on those 25 to 54 year olds. But we knew that if we wanted to decrease and ultimately eliminate persistent PEG in our community, we needed to look at prevention methods on both ends. And so that's the plan we put together. It was approved from the federal government, and now that has unlocked funding potential for phase two, which we have submitted a $47 million grant across 7 projects to accomplish that.
And then before we get into the guests, because you've got all the players at the table to address all the things that we just talked about.
Yep.
It's been a big week for Decatur. We were with Ashley over there at Career Signing Day and ADM and Enrich, and all these people were there. We were at Milliken, you know, yesterday. It just feels like there's just so much momentum in so many areas. But this would be tremendous in being able to do the work that we know needs to be done, and we've identified where it needs to be done. It's just, now can we get the funding to do it?
You need a plan and you need funding.
Okay, and what's the timeline on that?
So we submitted our application at the end of April. We have an interview with the Federal Economic Development Administration on Monday the 20th, and then they should be making award announcements at the end of the summer. So hopefully in June, we'll hear that we have, my fingers are crossed, received funding for tech hubs, and then hopefully by the end of August, we will have received funding for recompete.
And do we have official help in Washington from our elected representatives?
Yes, I'll be there Monday through Thursday next week meeting with them, and they are very, very supportive.
Okay, that's
fantastic. They're
excited
for the opportunity.
All right, well, Ashley Granted from District 61 and Debbie Bogle from the United Way and Courtney Carson from Richland Community College and the ERICH program. First, what a great day at the Kyle Building for the career signing day. 18 kids at a time. I mean, people, this is how you change lives, is 18 at a time. And then it all adds up. But you had a wonderful group from Enrich. You had Memorial Hospital. You had ADM. You had Caterpillar. You had Land of Lincoln Credit Union. You had a little bit of everything. It has to be all the hard work you put in. Having the culmination of that day has to be very satisfying to you.
Absolutely. We are so excited for our annual DPS career signing day. I mean, we just like we celebrate our students going off to college and with scholarships for athletics. About 5 years ago, I brought in this idea of career signing day because workforce readiness is just as equally important. And so as I continue my work with preparing opportunities for all students based on their passions, that career signing day just really highlighted the importance of connecting students to our local organizations and beyond.
And it's interesting. I was talking to Brandon from ADM. You know, he heard us talking about the partnership with, I think it was HSHS or one, you know, and said, why can't we do this at ADM Trucking? And then it was kind of full circle to be there and go, well, there you go. There's three people who are going into this. And he was telling me about the young man in particular. He was, it was interesting because he was telling me by the time this guy's 30 years old, here's where he's going to be and here's the money he's going to be making. And it was a pretty impressive story.
Absolutely. The day they graduate next Saturday and they begin their work. Full-time benefits, full-time pay on Monday, directly after they graduate from high school.
Yeah, and then the huge part of that, Courtney, was the Enrich program, a welder, a surgical tech. You know, there were several categories that were represented. It has to give you great satisfaction to see, you know, what's next for these kids, because Ashley's going to pass them off to you.
Yeah, the greatest reward is seeing these young people change their lives or enhance their lives. And it takes all of us. This is a phenomenal ecosystem that really supports our ecological community. I'm in awe every time I see a young person have the fortitude and the courage to step up and say, you know what, I don't want to take this route. I want to go through the Enrich program because I want to go right to work so I can support myself, support my family, and, you know, come out on the winning end without debt. And so it's just magnificent, man, to have all of us at the table, all of us in the room discussing how can we change one life is just beautiful, because it takes this entire group to do so.
Well, and sometimes you have to illuminate that there are other paths. I mean, it's not often in life. Sometimes even people choose between one or the other. May not the other even exist. Right. Let's talk about Alice families for a minute. You and I have been having this conversation since the beginning of COVID, when it really came to light, and we really saw a disparity where the government stepped in and helped a lot of people. But unless you were in a certain category, and often these Alice families don't fall into that category, there were some real gaps.
Right. And what we found during COVID is it's not even necessarily about how much you're making now. It is about you're just on the edge of, you know, falling into poverty. And we're doing what we can on the Alice end to make sure that working class people can continue to work without those barriers, without transportation issues, without, you know, one small thing that's turning into a major crisis in their life to where they are not going to be able to go to work anymore.
All right. And Nicole, what will this grant, I mean, you know, how will it be spent? What will it mean? You know, how do you put it to use if you're able to get the $47 million?
Yeah, so we have seven very strategic opportunities and investments that we've requested. And so the first project, it kind of lays a foundation. It's the EDC Workforce Ecosystem Platform. So there are a couple key components to that, one of which is creating an interactive labor market data center. So a lot of the data that's out there about our labor market is just solely around unemployment, but it doesn't tell us where the supply and demand is. And so we would build one that layers a ton of data on each other where we could get down to the census, down to the block level to say, here is where people are falling into unemployment. Here is where they live. Here are their names. Let's go get them. Bring them into the fold. Let's train them up and stabilize that. So we would have that for use for not only this program, but for employers as well. That then will feed into a career pathways mapping that would be accessible. So all of our component partners here at DPS, United Way, and Rich can utilize that. So when folks are looking at what do I want to do in the future, here's where you go. How much do you make? Here's your pathway, right? Not just here's a job. Here's a pathway to get here, and that's what that looks like for your family. And then that then, you know, that's kind of the foundation, and then building off of that, we have additional projects through Enrich. So expanding the already nationally recognized and successful Enrich programming, essential skills programming, and then having an Enrich workforce hub where we would have a dedicated campus for those training activities, which would be big. Additionally, then we would have and create a DPS workforce academy for our graduating at-risk seniors, so those that don't have plans to go on to college, get them trained for the workforce, bring in the resources that they need so that they can be prepared for the workforce, and then extending the extended day programming to satisfy all the needs so that we provide that childcare component for our working families in the community so that they can continue to work and maintain in their jobs or go to training at Enrich. Right. And then lastly, making sure that the Alice families have the support they need to stay in the jobs that they currently have, and then upskill to make room for others as they move up the career ladders.
All right. How do we improve connective tissue? You know, to me, this is the weakness, not just in our community, but in any community. There's a lot of hardworking people doing a lot of great things, but we learned when Acorn Pharmaceuticals closed its door overnight, it was hard for people to go to everywhere they needed to go to find the information to, you know, to do. I mean, there were a lot of resources out there, but it was like, wow, I've got to go swim through a whole lot of stuff and come pick up a flyer, and people don't live their lives that way. How do we get better at communicating with people?
So the seventh component project then would be work management. So we're calling this work, Workforce Opportunities for Resilient Communities. So an acronym, WORK, W-R-C.
As long as you can remember what it all stands for, we're fine.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, a really key component is having somebody, you know, so this is a pilot program. So having somebody at the lead to make sure that those connective tissues are not only created, but they're strong. And so that our referral programs between our organizations are aligned and ready to go to work. And Gina Taylor, who's the director of Enrich with Richland Community College, would serve in that role.
That's important. And it's not just in this area. It's in all areas. People are you know, sensitive about their information, and we don't share this, and we don't share that, because people are, you know, it's just, we used to call it silos. You can use whatever word you want to do, but they exist, and not even necessarily with bad intent. It's just sometimes it's just hard to share. And when, you know, Debbie might know exactly what this family needs, and Ashley might have an insight, you know, but there might be a program out there that's serving. How do we get everybody into one pot so that we know people are landing in the right space?
Yeah,
and so if you don't have that space, you know exactly who does.
Exactly. And I think it starts with this. It starts with a plan, right? Mm. And we have spent a gazillion hours together discussing how this is going to work and how we're going to make sure that that happens. And again, it's a pilot program. It's not going to be perfect, but I think we have a really solid plan. And at the end of it, the goal is to train 2,400 people into employment, and then support another 8,000 to 9,000 to sustain their employment through the different programming that we've developed here. So, I mean, that's a really big impact.
Yeah, essentially, it really just gives us the opportunity to continue the work that we've already been doing in training individuals. And the way that we train individuals, they come out as phenomenal talent for industry, our industry partners to pick up. And so what you spoke to, something that's so important as it relates to how do we get this information out to the public, we have to continue to talk about it and have major conversations around it. Got to utilize the school system so that these young people can understand this new wave of workforce that's happening, that's here. So we got to train them forward and make sure that our counselors talking to these young people about, our young people about, okay, what do you think you want to do? Yes, you can be a doctor. Yes, you can be a lawyer. But there's some engineering opportunities for you right now that's different. They're going into manufacturing companies that looks totally different. Manufacturing is sexy right now. It's not dirty. It's clean. You don't, you know, go to work and come back with oil on your face anymore.
No, people think of
it as. So people still have this narrative about it. We got to change
that.
But
what do we do with kids and families that have given up and don't believe that there's the opportunity? Because I think that there's, you know, with the city study, you know, identified very specific things. There might be somebody working in a fast food restaurant that's perfectly capable of being a welder in a couple of years and can improve and dramatically change their life. There might be people who are living paycheck to paycheck that can dramatically, but we got a lot of people in this community just don't believe. I mean, they don't trust, they don't believe, they don't think it's there for them.
Oh,
or they may not even be aware of what's there for them because they think that's just a pipe dream.
I totally get it, right? I think that we got to take them out of their what they're used to, out of their comfort zone, and bring them along with us. When we take these trips to manufacturing companies and spy out or inquire what's going on and look and see, bring the students with us. We just had 600 young people on campus this last week. And these
from the Macon County Farm Bureau, right?
Yes, yeah. Right? They fell in love with big tractors. I said, let me go out there and play with these big old tractors like these young people.
I'm telling you, the first group of 600 kids we brought from District 61 to the Farm Progress Show, right? Because you climb on a $200,000, you have to know what it is. I mean, it's just cool.
Right.
And you know what we found out? Isaiah and Hassan were in that sixth grade class out there as that first class. Mm-hmm. The interns have been working with us, we found the pictures of them as little sixth graders, you know, on the John Deere tractor. So, but we've got to identify all these pools, and you have to work at all of it simultaneously. It's not one or the other. It's all, right? And that's the difficulty, I think.
And not only that, we got to provide them a place of belonging here so that they stay, right? Look at Isaiah. He's in love with everything that he's doing, so he doesn't want to leave the city. He's staying in this community to work in this community, right? Because what happens is we can train them up and make sure they got the best education. And oftentimes, because there's no belonging, our good talent leave. We have to do something to make sure and ensure that our good talent stays here. And it's with these particular programs. It's with this support system. It's with the magnificent minds in this particular room saying, hey, we see your good work and we're going to pay you for your value and your expertise.
I should also mention that during the state of the address by Dr. Reynolds at Milliken yesterday, you know, he spent a lot of time bragging on the partnership with Richland Community College and the ability that you guys are going to be
magnificent? Well, I mean, a phenomenal partnership.
I just think as universities, you know, like you go to Ohio State and they're trying to institute a 5-year degree because they want one more year of tuition out of you. And then I think about the bang for the buck that people can get here through a 2-year path through Richland, through the Macon Promise, and now they've expanded that and what you can afford. And literally 2 years in 2 years, you know, have that complete and be able to take on the world. So I wanted to mention that because that was a big part of the program the other day. Debbie, like we're getting more attention, but still a lot of people are not. You know, you bring it up, you mention it to people. Break it down. ALICE stands for, once again.
Yeah, and over the past few weeks, there's been a lot of national talk about ALICE. And
I've noticed it, yes.
And so it's a fairly new acronym, but it is Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So basically, you know, what we used to say working class.
My parents would have said, you know, paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, paycheck to paycheck. Who, again, like I was saying, it's not necessarily about the dollar amount that you're making, but your own individual situation that you're in. Through the pandemic, you could be making $100,000 and that's great. You lose your job, your whole family dynamic changes. And it's really hard to recover from that. Mm-hmm. And so those are the families that we're working with, those folks that are working and you know, really making a difference in our community.
No,
that just need
and
a little
it
help.
Doesn't mean necessarily a 100-year pandemic.
Right.
It could be a huge medical bill or somebody gets into a car wreck or something, you know, that happens to you without any
flat
control
tire.
Or at all can change everything. Well, listen, we're very excited that you all are representing this community in this way. And best of luck. If there's anything we can do to help, please let us know. And graduation for Richland?
Is the 17th of May.
MacArthur and Eisenhower?
May 18th.
All right. All I know is there's going to be a lot of graduating going on, and we're super thrilled about it. Nicole, if people want to find out more, they can obviously sign up for the newsletter from EDC, follow you guys on LinkedIn, Richland, all the organizations, right?
They sure can, and we'll be standing a website today, I believe, and so we'll be sure to post that on all of our individual organization threads, so just check us there.
Okay. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you.